Praise the Lord. Well, say with me, the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. Now make it personal. Say, the Lord's good to me, and his mercies endure toward me forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. Man, so excited to be back this week, and what an honor to be at such a wonderful, wonderful place, even though it is really, really cold. When April and I, we got off the flight Monday night, we walked out of the airport, and as soon as I walked out of the airport, the hairs in my nose went. And just had to push through. But man, so excited to be here. I wanted to make mention of two things. Daniel mentioned our Healing Academy. So yeah, this is something that we've got online. It's self-paced. You could just use it as a supplement for some things. And we wanted to give it to you for free. Those of you that are here and watching online, so you can go to thehealingacademy.com, and when you go to get module one, you can put in the password Karis, all uppercase Karis. If you don't know how to spell that and you're here, but all uppercase Karis, put that in, you'll get it for free. And I want to make mention, we've got a brand new book. Juan just texted, said we're almost out of books out there, but we've got a brand new book. I was so honored that your very own Daniel, he did the forward to this, and so it made it really, really good. But it's called Never Be Sick Again, and it's brand new, came out last month. You can go, if we're out of them there, you can go on Amazon and get it, but we have it, and it's paperback, hardback. The audiobook just came out this past weekend. That's available in the ebook as well as too. And so we're actually going to talk about some of these things today, but anyway, this is available. And Daniel just made it really, really good. So praise the Lord. Hey, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 15. While you're turning there, I'd like to share some testimonies, some stories of some things that's happened. Most recently, this was a really good service that we had. April and I, we were up in Canada. And while we were up in Canada in this service, it was so powerful on a Saturday night. There was three particular healings that took place. I just want to share with you. There was one girl, she'd been dealing with intestinal issues, or no, it, was her lungs, April? It was her lungs. She'd been having some really bad breathing issues for a long time. Nobody prayed for her, nobody laid hands on her. It was just something suddenly happened. All of a sudden, she felt that she could just start breathing once again. Young girl, she comes up, she's sharing her testimony, just crying. And there was another guy, he was in his late 40s, and since he was 25 years old, he had had very strong tremors. He had real bad digestion issues, intestinal issues, but because of the tremors, they were so severe, he could barely stand for just maybe a minute or two at a time. And so it was causing issues with his work and stuff like that. And so he came up, and at one point, he just took off running across the front. It was a pretty good-sized facility like this, and he runs up the top on the balcony, running all across, and he's jumping and shouting, and he gave his testimony the next morning. He came up and he was sharing how for the first time in over 25 years, he was able to stand up during praise and worship that morning. Just to be able to worship and praise God, no pain. It's gonna be able to go back to work. And then he just dropped the mic, you know. And it was so funny if you could have seen the pastor's face, because the pastor went, because they had just bought a brand new sound system, brand new mics, brand new everything. But it was worth it for the drop mic moment. But then, this one was so sweet to me. There was an elderly woman that had come up, and she was losing her vision. And I had walked up to her, and I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I'm losing my vision. I can't really see." And I said, "It's macular degeneration, isn't it?" And she said, "Yeah, how did you know?" I said, "I don't know. Just came up on the inside," and said, "Well, let me just lay my hands on you." So laid hands on her, said a little something in the name of Jesus, and I took my hands away, and I said, "Well, how's your vision?" And she goes, "Oh my goodness, I can see, like the dark spots and my central vision's restored. I can see. And she was so excited. Well, she went off and there was a lot of people we were ministering to. And so I just went to the next person. That was on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, this woman comes up to me and she said, "Chad, I want to share with you about last night." She said, "Remember the woman that was had macular degeneration and losing her vision?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, that's actually my cousin." And she said, "It was a miracle that miracle even took place last night." I said, "Well, why was that?" She said, "Because her and her entire family are cessationists." If you don't know what that means, they basically believe that miracles and healing has ceased. And she said, that if you could have heard the conversations at the dinner table last night, She said, I went to my aunt's house, and me and my cousin is at my aunt's house and all the family. And they're trying to figure out how this lady got healed last night because we don't believe in that. But the cousin, she told me, she said, but what it was is that the teaching that was taking place, she said it was so simple, it actually gave her hope that this is maybe actually true. And so I want to share some of those things that we talked about that night with you today. So if you found Exodus chapter 15, we're going to look at some scriptures that are very familiar to you. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, you have Moses and the Israelites here, and God is establishing this covenant with them. They have just left the Red Sea, and they're out in the wilderness. They've been gone for about 3 days from Egypt. In Exodus 15, 26, it says, there he made a statute and ordinance for them and tested them and said, if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, how many of you have ever heard that passage of scripture before? Pretty much all of us. All right. But in the context of this, I want you to notice again, you can look up here in verse 22 and it begins to explain some things that they've left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They're 3 days out in the wilderness. And in the context of this statement is this, they're out there and they're thirsty. There's no water. And so they go to the waters of Marah. They find the waters of Marah, but it's bitter. And God heals the waters. And then he tells them basically this, as long as you do what I tell you to do, none of these diseases, none of these sicknesses, none of these things will come upon you, for I am the Lord your healer. Now, my question to you is this, was God telling them that I'm now your healer in the context of he just healed their body? No. He just told them, as long as you do what I tell you to do, none of these sicknesses will come upon you, for I am the Lord your healer. This is where we get the phrase Jehovah Rapha, this name of God. And you could literally define it like this or interpret it like this. I am now your doctor. Right? I'm Jehovah Rapha. Now I'm your doctor. Now you have to remember that the Israelites, they've been in slavery for 430 years. They know nothing about God. They know nothing about the Bible. They don't have a Bible. They've never been to church. All they know is the occult, the witchcraft, the gods of Egypt, the medical system of Egypt, the governmental system. All they know is Egypt. They know nothing about God at all except for all the miracles that they saw in Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea and all this wonderful stuff. That's all they know about God. And God is introducing himself with this wonderful, wonderful name. I am Jehovah Rapha. Now I'm your doctor. In other words, now I'm the one that's going to take care of you. But I want you to notice this. He's not promising to heal their body. Look at it. He's not promising to heal their body. He basically says this, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick another day in your life. For now, I'm your doctor. He wasn't promising to heal them. He's promising they'd never be sick. Now, this is what's interesting to me because a couple of years ago, I was doing some studying, and man, I've been going after this stuff for years. And I was doing some studying and I was reading in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, and it says that you and I, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And while I was sitting there and reading that, just on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, go back and study healing under the old covenant. Yeah. And it's from this standpoint, if you and I, if we have a better covenant than the Israelites did, right? That means that at the very least, we have to have the best of what they had. In other words, you could say it like this, that the ceiling of the old covenant would now be the floor of the new. Right? And I want you to see what God is establishing with the Israelites. He brings them out and he says, as long as you follow my commands, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick again. For I am now your doctor. I am now your healer. I am now your healer. Well, God begins to expound on this even more. And so if you look at Exodus chapter 23 and look at what he says here. Verse 25, he said, you shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless your bread and bless your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one will suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. He's expounding on what he was talking about in Exodus chapter 15. Again, he's not promising to heal their bodies. I want you to notice that he's not promising to heal their bodies. But he's telling them that I'm your healer. Now, I want you to think about it. Why would he tell them I'm your healer and you'll never be sick again? But what's the possibility that some of them were sick? It's not. The reason is that when God brought them out of Egypt, he not only brought them out wealthy, he also brought them out healthy. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 105 that they plundered the Egyptians with their wealth. He brought them out with wealth. And it also says there was not one feeble among them. So see those stories and the movies and the shows you see of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and they're bringing out the elderly people in their canes and their walkers and their Egyptian wheelchairs and they're carrying them on the cots and the people that are paralyzed and can't walk and they're taking them across the Red Sea. That never happened. Never happened. You know why? Because right there in Exodus chapter 12, when they were partaking of the Passover, I'm telling you, during that Passover, that night, probably the greatest miracle night that ever happened on the planet. Because think about it, they've been slaves for 430 years. There's no OSHA. That was supposed to be a joke. Didn't work in Colorado, it works in other places. But I mean, there's no protection, there's no rules there. I mean, think about it, there's work-related injuries, there's diseases, there's all this stuff going on in Egypt. And they're susceptible to it. They're dealing with these things. And you have people that are elderly. And according to the way things work with age, as people get older, then they get weaker and things happen. And I mean, that's the way they depicted it in the movies and stuff when they crossed. But friends, I'm telling you, the Bible says that when they left Egypt, they not only had wealth, they also had health. So, you know, those that don't believe in health and wealth, well, God certainly did, and he did it for the Israelites. I mean, I've told people, if you don't believe in health and wealth, then go to a church that preaches sick and broke. You know, and if you don't believe in prosperity, then the next time your boss gives you a raise, say, I don't believe in that. And if you don't believe in health, then, you know, if you got sick, don't go to the doctor, don't take any medications, don't do anything to try to get rid of it, just enjoy your sickness. But God, when he brought them out healthy and he brought them out wealthy. And then with his healed people, he said, as long as you do what I tell you to do, what you experience in Egypt, you'll never experience again. He tells them that in Exodus 15. And then he gets very specific here in Exodus 23. And I want you to notice what he tells them. Again, it's this very same thing. As long as you do what I tell you to do, here's these things right here. He said, not only will you not get sick, he said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. So in other words, sickness won't even be able to get near you. Amen. This is not a promise to heal them. They're already healed. This is not a promise to heal them. He said, as long as you do what I tell you to do, it can't get near you, number one. Number two, he said, you'll never have a miscarriage. Number three, you'll never be barren. Number four, you'll never die young. Now, I want you to take just those four things right there and take a step back and put that in relation to what we deal with today. Those four things right there are very accepted to be normal in our world. Oh, but they're also accepted to be normal in our church. Because we chalk it up to this. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes just bad things happen to good people. But remember, these people, They don't have the covenant with God that we do. They're not sons and daughters of God. They're not blood washed, blood redeemed. They're not seated at the right hand of God. They're not in Christ. They're slaves. They know nothing. They know nothing about confession, nothing about authority. They don't know anything about serving. They don't know nothing. But God is telling them this very simply. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick. And not just never be sick. Sickness won't even be able to get near you. None of you will ever have a miscarriage. None of you will be barren. In other words, you can have as many kids as you want to, and you'll never die young. Now, but here's the question. How much of that is accepted to be normal in our world? How much of that is accepted to be normal even in the church? Now, we all know people that have experienced those things. And we certainly don't want any of those things to occur. But I want you to notice that under the old covenant, which is something lesser than what you and I have today, under the old covenant, God has said, if you do these things, none of these things will happen to you. But how much have we accepted that to be normal for us? Look, I want you to notice that God, he is not providing them health insurance. He's providing them disease prevention. See, health insurance doesn't help you until you get sick. You're not going to find God saying here, hey, as long as you do these things, when you get sick, I'll be your healer. Come on, guys, let's think. He's not selling them health insurance. He's providing disease prevention. He's saying these things will never be able to touch you the rest of your life as long as you do what I tell you to do. But look at what, even in comparison, look at what we have accepted to be normal even in the Christian life. That sometimes these things just happens to good people. But under the old covenant, that's something lesser than you and I have, God is saying, as long as you do, and I'm being very repetitive on purpose, but as long as you do what I tell you to do, these things will never happen to you. Now, I don't know about you, but that right there sounds a whole lot better than a lot of the healing teaching I hear today. Because if we're really honest and really humble ourselves about it, most of what we hear today is this. You ready? Most of what we hear today is this. As long as you do what you need to do, you know, as long as you do all the right things, and then when you do get sick, Jesus is your healer. Praise the Lord. But under the old covenant, God said, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick. Sickness won't even be able to get near you. Number two, you never have a miscarriage, never be barren, you'll never die young. We see it right there, but then you also see it in a very, very familiar passage of scripture in Psalm 91. So why don't you turn there, Psalm 91, and I want you to see you're going to find some of this very same language here. Psalm 91, and let's just start with verse 5 just for sake of time. Psalm 91, verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But notice this phrase, it shall not come near you. Amen. It shall not come where? Near you. Near you. This isn't about trying to get it away from you. It's saying it can't touch you. Can't get near you. And then he goes on and he says this, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who's my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, underline it, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come what? Near your dwelling. It can't come near you. What did God say? Take sickness away from what? The midst of you. So this isn't God promising to heal them. This is God promising these things will never touch you. These things will never get near you. These things won't happen as long as you do what I tell you to do. Now, remember, the old covenant was based on their works. Right? And thus the phrasing, as long as you do what I tell you to do, as long as you follow everything I say and do everything I tell you to do, if you fulfill that part of your covenant, then my part is this, these things will never be able to touch you. Right? So you see, and you can find this in many places in Deuteronomy and some other places, but just for sake of time, looking at Exodus 15, 26, you see it in Exodus 23, you see it here in Psalm 91. Now remember, this is under the old covenant. And if we've got a better covenant with better promises, that means at the least, we have to have at least that. Now again, I want you to just take a step back and do some considering of many of the things that we have heard, not only for decades, but centuries in the area of healing. Because much of the gospel of healing that we hear today is this. When you do get sick, thank God, Jesus is your healer. In other words, we have preached the gospel of healing as being health insurance. But under the old covenant, God was promising disease prevention. Now, under the old covenant, and it was based on their works, and they had disease prevention, why are we lowering the standard of the gospel of Jesus Christ to health insurance? Why are we promising Christians, when you do get sick, thank God Jesus is your healer? why are we not at least preaching what was being preached under the old covenant? If you'll just follow everything God tells you to do, you'll never be sick. But see, we've got it even better because under the new covenant, it's not based on me. Under the new covenant, it's not based on my works. Thank God that covenant was not made with me, because you and me, we would have messed that thing up royally within the first few seconds. No, this covenant had no involvement with us at all. This covenant was between God and God. See, again, under the old covenant, it was based on as long as you do everything you're supposed to do, these things will never touch you. But under the new covenant, I at least have that, the best of theirs, as my bottom, the floor. At the very least, I have to have something in there that these things will never happen to me. Right? Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, talking about Adam, the first Adam, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Notice verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who's a type of him who was to come. Notice this, it says that from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, those that sin was not even being counted toward them, sin and death and sickness and disease and lack of poverty, death is still reigning in their lives, even over those who were living perfect lives. So obviously, it had nothing to do with their actions, but it had everything to do with their connection. See, when God is establishing this covenant with Moses, again, we just see from Adam to Moses, death is reigning. But then God comes along with Moses and says, look, here's a problem. There's this connection problem. Because this connection to Adam, death is flowing. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to establish a covenant with you, kind of like this temporary stopgap, so to speak. And as long as you do what you need to do, this death will not flow through you. The only example I've been able to come up with that's okay in relaying this is this with like electricity. So if you look at a building, electricity, it's flowing from the main, flows to the building, to the breaker box, right? And from that breaker box, the electricity's flowing into all the different outlets and light fixtures and stuff like that. Well, within that breaker box, you've got what? You've got some switches, you've got some breakers there. And essentially, it's kind of like this, that all of these people, those that were born after Adam, they are tied and connected to Adam. And everything that's flowing from Adam is flowing into their lives, irregardless of how good of a life that they lived. Essentially, you could say it like this. It was a connection issue. And God couldn't do anything to change that connection until Jesus came. So essentially what God said was this, as long as you do what I tell you to do, he starts this with Moses. As long as you do what I tell you to do, I can flip the breaker. So the power's still flowing there, but it won't flow into you. But if you break this covenant, breaker gets flipped. And it was basically that. And essentially, you can see this with the Israelites, that for those 40 years there in the wilderness, no one ever got sick or died young or any of these things ever happened until somebody sinned. And the moment they sin, all of a sudden you see things starting to break out. Great example is Numbers chapter 21, right? Things are going good, and they start whining and complaining about the manna. They call it worthless bread. I would have killed them too. But the snakes come out, the vipers, you know, gripers get the vipers come out, start biting them. And then what happens? They're like, man, Moses, we were stupid. Go to tell God we're sorry. Get this thing figured out. And all of a sudden people start getting healed. But God said basically like this, as long as you do what I tell you to do, I'll flip that breaker there for you. But I want you to notice it says that Adam, he was a type of the one to come, Jesus. And it says the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 17, it says, for if by the one man's offense death was reigning through that one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, through the one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So essentially, you could look at it like this, that those that were connected to Adam, death is flowing. But then Jesus came along, not just to change your destination, but to change your connection. So essentially, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God unplugs you from the first Adam and plugs you into the glorified Christ, so that the death that was reigning through Adam into you can no longer flow there, because now you've got a new connection, because your connection determines your flow. Yeah. See, under the old covenant, before God established that covenant, what? There's no stoppage of the flow. Then you see this old covenant, and there's a stoppage of the flow temporarily as long as you do everything that you're supposed to do. But under the new covenant, it's not based on you, it's based on the grace of God. It's not based on your actions, it's based on your what? It's based on your connection. It's based on your connection to Jesus. And that's why it says that Adam was a type of the one to come. Now I want you to think about it. Look at death, look at everything that's flowing in the world. And it all came about because of who? First Adam. Because of what he did. And look how, in one sense, understand what I'm saying, but look how great the curse is in the world. And that came from the flow of one man. But I know of a man that's far greater than the first Adam. And if the death, you can go out to your world, you can see the effects of sin and the effects of death. But the Bible tells us that under the new covenant, we have something that is so much more glorious, so much more powerful. We see the results of darkness out there, but what would happen when you begin to look at the results of light? It far exceeds anything you can see, feel, taste, and touch. And if death could produce that, what could life produce? And the wonderful thing is, you're not tied to any of that. You're not tied to death anymore. You're tied to life. Because of your connection to Jesus, now everything that flows in him would now flow in you. See, again, it's about your position. When you begin to understand your position, now all of a sudden, these possessions are yours, and they're supposed to be just a byproduct of who you are. The flow had to be changed, but the flow couldn't be changed until the connection was changed. See, under the old covenant, it was a connection problem. Under the new covenant, God changed your connection so he could change the flow, and it had nothing to do with you. Had nothing to do with you at all. This is why this whole thing about, if you need healing in your body, then you need to get right. Well, why don't you just get saved? Because when you get saved, you get right. But you got to understand who you are. And this is what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, for those who receive of grace and of this position of righteousness, you will reign. And you can say, well, that sounds great, but how has that happened practically? Well, look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And he says this, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And I want you to underline this, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a new type of life. I like the Amplified. It says that we should habitually walk in a newness of life. Notice it says just as and even so. What does that mean? In the very same way Jesus, in the very same way me. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so Chad is to walk in a new type of life. See, many Christians are willing to believe that we died with Christ. And then some are willing to believe that we were raised up with Christ. But then most of us stop there. Well, why were we raised up with him? It's so that we could live with him, live in him. And he could live through us. See, friend, you don't have to step out of this body till you can start living the resurrected life. You didn't hear what I said. You don't have to die physically until you can begin to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of us are waiting to get to heaven before we begin to experience the resurrected life. No, when I got in Christ, I get to experience the life that he lives now. It's right here. This is not talking about when you die and go to heaven. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so Chad gets to experience a new life too. So the good question would be this. Well, what does that new life look like? I got to look to Jesus. What's his new life look like? That's what my new life looks like. Well, but that doesn't make any sense, Chad. Jesus is in heaven and we're here. What does your location have anything to do with your identification? What does where you're at have anything to do with who you are? And then you continue to read right here. If you look at verse 6, he says, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin would be done away with, that we would what? No longer be what? A slave of sin. For he who has died has been what? He has been freed from sin. He who has died has been what? Freed from sin. He who has died has been freed from sin. How many of you ever seen someone who's died physically still dealing with addictions and sin and sickness? You're not going to find it. You're not going to go out to a cemetery or go into a funeral home and find someone that is in a casket and they still got porn problems. Or they're still struggling with cancer or, you know, they still got an addiction problem. That's not going to happen. Why? They're dead to these things. We understand that from a physical standpoint, but those of us that go around talking about how we're so spiritual, we actually begin to show how spiritual we are by our words, our expressions, our perspectives. See, dead people don't deal with these things. And we've got to start seeing ourselves like dead people. You'll find it's actually very interesting that the Apostle Paul, I mean, so many times in his letters to the church, he's telling them this, you're dead. You're dead. I mean, it almost kind of sounds a little morbid listening to Paul because he's constantly saying, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Why? He's trying to tell you who you are. He's trying to tell you who you are. He's trying to change your perspective and get you to see things from a different way. That when I died, that what Jesus died to, I died to. And what Jesus became alive to, I became alive to. Listen to what I just said. What Jesus died to, I died to. You've got to see that tomb as your tomb too. That when Jesus died, I died. What he died to, I died to. What he was raised up into, I was raised up to. What he lives unto, I live unto. My location does not determine my identity. My location does not determine my possessions. My location does not determine my flow. My connection does. My connection does. Isn't it interesting that even all those who lived after Adam, even when Adam was gone from the earth, there was still a flow? There's still a flow today in every single person in this planet who has not accepted Jesus Christ. There's still a flow from the first Adam because of who they're connected to. And he's been gone a long time. He's not even here. Why? It's not about physicality. It's about spirituality. It's a spiritual thing. So if Adam isn't here, but that flow is still affecting people here, then why would it be any different than Jesus? Jesus isn't here physically. We know where he's at, but the flow in him is to affect the flow in me. And this is why it goes on right here in verse 10. And he says this, he says, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives, he does what? He lives unto God. Now look at the verse 11. Likewise, you also do what? Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, you need to do some considering. You need to do some reckoning that you're dead to sin. Now I want you to hold your place there and I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And I want you to notice something here. Most of you could probably quote this. Most people quote the last portion of it. But 1 Peter 2, 24, he says this, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having what? Underline it. We having what? We died to sin. See, even Peter caught up on what Paul was talking about. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. We having died to sin would do what? We would live for righteousness. So notice, once the sin issue is taken care of, then what? It's a righteousness. This is about position. This is about flow. Because I want you to notice, what is the flow that comes from righteousness? Healing. By his stripes, you were healed. You having died to sin, so you would live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Most people are just looking at that first part, or that last part, by his stripes you were healed. But notice Paul or Peter is not telling you what you need to get. Right. Peter is not telling you what you need to obtain. Peter's trying to tell you who you are.
That's right.
That you are dead to the flow. You're dead to that old connection. And there's a new connection called righteousness. Yeah. So you could say it like this, that sin is the root of all the problems. And all the results of sin is death, poverty, lack, destruction, divorce, war, early death, cancer, you name it, sin. And I'm not talking about your sin, I'm talking about the sin of Adam, that flow that came from that death. And we see how that has destroyed so many lives and so many regions and cities, and we see what it's done in the earth. We see the magnitude of it, but begin to think about how much more magnificent life is. Yeah. The light is. That what would flow through Adam, it would do that. But think about what would flow through Jesus. You died to sin so that you would die to the flow of death. And you became alive. You could say you became connected to righteousness. And because you became connected to righteousness, now healing flows. And it still has nothing to do with you. Peter is telling you who you are. You're dead to sin. You're alive unto God. He's telling you about your connection, and he's telling you about your flow. And you see it here with Paul. You're never going to get away from this thing about identity. This is what they're trying to do. Paul's not telling you the things that you need to do. He's telling you who you are. Because once you begin to understand who you are, then there is supposed to be a flow from who you are. Once you understand your position, now there is a flow from this new connection. So he says, likewise, you also do what? Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul does this wonderful job of verses 1 through 9, giving you this kind of synopsis about redemption. And I want you to notice, he's telling you, you're dead to these things. You're alive unto God. This is what Jesus has done for you. He's made you dead to sin, no longer slave to it. These things can no longer control you. These are the facts. But then in verse 11, he says, I need you to consider it to be true. Because see, this is where we get hung up, because people say, okay, that's great. But I mean, how does it work? Paul's telling you, you need to do some considering. And I want you to think about it like this. Again, under the old covenant, God was saying, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick, you'll never have a miscarriage, never be barren, never die young. And under the new covenant, we've got something even better than that. So we have to at least have those things under our new covenant. And it's tied to the connection. If the connection was unplugged and I got plugged into here, so see, it's nothing to do about these things flowing in my life again. Why? Because Jesus was taking away the possibility that as long as I stay connected to him, none of this can flow in me either. But it's not tied to my actions now. It's based on his actions. And Paul said the way that you get this to begin to operate and flow in your life is you do some reckoning. You do some considering. Now, what's interesting is this word reckon, it's actually an accounting term in the Greek. It's actually an accounting term. And it basically means this: take some inventory. Take some inventory and consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto God. This is talking about a connection, that if I'm connected to God, then all that he is flows in me. I've got to take some inventory. The problem is, most of us, we're going around quoting, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, but we don't actually believe it. Because when it comes to taking inventory, we start looking here. And what's also interesting is this word reckon, when you look it up in the Greek, the root of this Greek word is the word logos. This word logos also means to take into account, but we also know that Jesus is the word, he's the logos. So is it possible that the reckoning, that the considering, that the accounting I need to do is really based on him? That I should not be looking at me, I should be looking at him. See, the reason we're having lots of problems and frustration because we're taking inventory in the wrong warehouse. We're going around looking in the wrong warehouse and getting frustrated because I don't see the proper inventory. We're looking at this, and a lot of us, we keep looking for that old man. And a lot of us are trying to raise from the dead the one Jesus killed. We're looking to my old life, those old things, because we've grown up in this death-filled, curse-filled world, and we've looked at what the world calls normal, and too many times we've brought it into the church and made that to be normal, and that's why, for the most part, we preach, hey, when you do get sick, praise God, Jesus is your healer. But it's not there. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't Christians that aren't sick and aren't dealing with physical issues. Not by any means. Thank God we can lay hands on the sick and see them be healed. But in reality, let's just be real now, that command to lay hands on the sick was actually for the Christian to lay hands on the sinner.
All right.
Amen. Don't get mad. Now, we do have a New Testament command. We have it in James 5. Any sick in the church, hey, go pray the prayer of faith. Raise them up. Right? But in reality, you're not going to find Paul teaching people how to get healed. I've been asking people to show it to me. It ain't there. Paul's not giving Christians steps and keys and principles and 1, 2, 3s on how to receive your healing. He's telling people, you received Christ. You received all that heaven has. Now walk in it.
Amen.
He's not telling you things to do. He's telling you who you are. He's telling you who you are, that you're dead to sin, you're dead to sickness, you're dead to cancer, you're dead to these things. What would happen if I started doing some accounting and taking into inventory who I actually am? But the moment I look to me outside of Christ, all of a sudden now I'm in works, and that's where there's condemnation, that's where there's not enough. But the moment I see myself in Him and I begin to identify with Him, I've got everything. The moment I see myself in Him, God's not withholding anything from me. In Christ, I have all of heaven's resources. Come on, Ephesians 1:3 says that. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places where? In Christ. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to experience His resources and use them. I can use them now. But I have to identify with who? Him. Just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so Chad walks in a new type of life. What type of life do I walk in? The very same life that he walks in. Yeah, but he's in heaven. But what about Christ in me? The hope and expectation of glory. Come on, you can start taking these in Christ scriptures like what I told you. You don't have to wait to get out of this body to experience the resurrected life. If under the old covenant they had, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick again. Under the new covenant, we can have this. As long as I abide in him, I'll never be sick another day in my life. And it not be based on me, it be based on him. Be based on my connection to him and be based on the flow that flows in him and that flows in me. It has nothing to do with me. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God. He already made me perfect. He already made me complete. Now, on the exterior, am I doing everything perfect? Probably not. Not all the time. I've gotten a lot better. A lot of things that were controlling me years ago aren't controlling me now. But again, it's not based on my works. It's based on my position. It's based on my position. It's based on my connection to him. I got to start doing some considering. I have to start doing some reckoning. Isn't it interesting? Over there in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that when God told Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. And the Bible says about Abraham that he did not consider his own body dead. Yeah. Not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body dead. And what did God do for him? He said, I want you to go outside. I want you to count the stars. In other words, God said, I don't want you to consider your body. I want you to consider something bigger than you. So every night, Abraham could walk out and he had something to consider. He had all these stars to consider. And he's seeing the magnitude of that and realizing that what God's going to do for me is even bigger than that. It says he wasn't weak in faith, not considering his own body. Is it possible that weak faith is the result of earthly considerations? And that strong faith is based on heavenly considerations. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, he said, realize you're a dead man. He said, set your thoughts on the realities of heaven because you died. And your new life is hidden in Christ, hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the realities of it. Do some inventory of what heaven has. Do some inventory of what's in you because of the Christ on the inside of you. Is it possible that if you do have some things going on in your body, there's no steps and keys and 1, 2, 3s? Maybe it's just all about your considerations. Maybe it really is true. It's the simple things that just confounds the wise. Maybe it's not about my works. Maybe it's about my imaginations. Because friends, in reality, whatever has your imaginations has your faith. And your faith works really, really good. Isn't it interesting that even under the old covenant, that story about the Israelites in Numbers chapter 21, they sin, they're griping, they're complaining about Moses and God. The snakes are coming out and they're biting them. And it says that people are dying all over the place. And they go to God, go to Moses, and Moses goes to God. And God said, I want you to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. And all those who look upon that serpent, they will live. Now, I want you to think about this. The reason people are getting sick and dying and being bitten by these snakes is because of their actions, because of their sin. And isn't it interesting that God did not have them confess their sins to get healed? Isn't it interesting that even in James 5, those who are in that issue, he doesn't have them confess their sins to get healed. It says God will raise them up, and if they committed any sins, it will be forgiven them. But under the old covenant in Numbers 21, he said, I want you to look at that serpent on the pole. And it's interesting that that word look, it means to keep a steady gaze. It's not just this haphazard look. No, it says, I want you to keep a steady gaze. And as long as those Israelites kept a steady gaze on that serpent, they lived. Now you think about it. These people, put yourself in their position. There's snakes all over the place. I don't know about you, I don't like them. But you got snakes biting people. Think about it, if you're in that position and you got snakes all over you, they're biting you, they're hanging off, they're flailing all over the place, they got their fangs in your thighs and in your arms, blood's pouring down. God's not telling them to deny the snakes. God said, I want you to change your considerations. Even in the midst of what you're experiencing, even in the midst of the circumstances, he said, I just want you to change your considerations. He didn't even say anything about their confessions. He said, just change what you're considering. Change what you're thinking about. Change what you're imagining. Change your focus, because whatever has your focus, whatever has your imaginations has your faith, and your faith works. He said, change your considerations. He told Abraham, change your considerations. The Apostle Paul is telling you, change your considerations. Do some inventory of who you are in Christ. Do some inventory. You're a dead man. And if I'm dead to sin and sin can no longer control me, I'm dead to sickness and dead to disease too. If I am dead to the root of the problem, I'm also dead to the fruits of the problem. But friend, it's the way that we have taught healing. We have taught healing basically like this, that you're the vine and I'm the branch. But if a bad fruit shows up, if a fruit of sickness and disease shows up, thank God Jesus is your healer. He'll pull that fruit off. It's not possible for that bad fruit to show up on someone who's connected to him. He said, you abide in me and I abide in you, and you will produce fruit. Fruit will be produced in your life. Friend, I'm telling you, we have preached a substandard version of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not save you so that when the curse got on you, he could heal you. I'm telling you, when he healed you from the source of the problem, so the byproducts couldn't touch you. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 is talking about. You know, you'll have people say, well, that's not talking about physical healing. That's talking about spiritual healing. Well, your spirit doesn't need to be healed. It's got to be born again. But once you get born again, there is a little bit of truth. There is a little bit of kind of spiritual healing, because Jesus, he healed you from the spiritual root, the spiritual cause of the sickness and disease. Adam. That connection, he changed your connection. He changed your spiritual connection so you'd have a new spiritual flow, so the results of that curse flow wouldn't show up in your life. But if you still believe that you're tied to the curse, then the curse is still gonna flow. Why? Because now I'm the master. I have a choice in whether I'm gonna plug into life or plug into death. I'm holding the cord. And my considerations determine what I plug into. And it's not God's fault, it's not the devil's fault, it's my considerations. Now I get it. Your body has a loud voice and it can scream really loud at you. We've all been in some situations, been dealing with some stuff. And I'm not saying these things to convict, condemn, anything like that. I'm saying we need to take a step back. Look at what we've been teaching, look at what we've been doing, and does it measure up to the standard of Jesus Christ? Because when Jesus walked on this earth as a man filled and united with God, he'd never got sick. And it wasn't because he was God, it's because he knew who he was. Even Jesus made this statement. He said, nobody can take my life unless I lay it down. Friend, I'm telling you, you need to do some considering. Look at the inventory of who you are. You're dead to cancer. I mean, this ought to be the new slogan of the church. We'll never be sick again. Come on, if we can go back to the days of Leroy Thompson and cha-ching, money cometh to me, you know. Never be broke again another day in my life. Why can't we sit there and say, I'll never be sick another day in my life? Why? Because people will condemn you. They will chide you. They'll say, who do you think you are? I mean, don't you realize that's just normal? It's a normal part of life for sinners, for people connected to the first Adam, not for people connected to the glorified Christ. I've got to identify with him. I have to identify with him because how he is there is how I am here. Come on, take the scriptures that you know. As he is, so am I in this world. He ain't sick. He can't get sick. He can't get cancer. He can't get COVID. He can't get the flu. He doesn't get viruses. Neither will I. I have to consider I am dead to these things. When I take inventory, I can't find a man who's tied to those things anymore. The only thing I can find when I look in the proper warehouse, the spiritual warehouse, the only thing I can find is Jesus. The only thing I can find is him. So what's the possibility? The only thing that I need to do is change my considerations. What's the possibility? I need to stop looking to the world to tell me what's normal and look at my Jesus to tell me what's normal. Look at my Jesus to see what is normal for you right now. That's what's normal for me right now. May not make much sense to your head. It doesn't need to make much sense to your head. I need to consider what's normal for him to be normal for me. So what are you considering? What have you been thinking about? When you hear about sickness and disease, when you hear the doctor's reports, does it move you? Because I'm telling you, whatever moves you moves your faith. If you hear about something and it makes you jump back on the inside, you know why? You just saw lack. You're seeing yourself outside of Christ. But you got to get back to this fact. It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and he gave his life for me. Why? So that I could live the life that he lives and he could live through me. That these are his hands and these are his feet. And I literally am the body of him. He's the head. I mean, why don't we take these things to be true? He's the head. I'm the body. If the head can't have it, the body can't have it. So let's take a few minutes. We've already run over time, but let's just take a minute or two here. Let's do some considering. Let's do some imagining. Let's do some reckoning. Let's take some inventory. And think about Jesus Christ himself. Think about the light. There's no darkness there. There's no shadow there. There's no disease there. How is Jesus? That's how I am. I am bone of his bone. And I am flesh of his flesh. As he is, I am. What is normal for Jesus is normal for me. And what's flowing from God, it's flowing through me. Think about that plug tied into that electrical socket. And everything that's flowing through that socket's flowing through that cord. And right now you are divinely connected to Jesus Christ himself. And everything that's flowing at the throne of God is flowing on the inside of you right now. Your spirit is wall to wall, top to bottom, filled with the very life of God. And it's just begging to be released into your body. And to flow in every cell and organ and bone and tendon and ligament. Flow into your heart and flow into your backbone and create new spine and create new disc and create new organs and lungs and do wonderful, wonderful things in your body without you even trying. Because it's not based on you. It's not based on your perfect actions. In God's eyes, you're already perfect. The Bible says in Hebrews, he has forever perfected those who are being sanctified. That means even in the midst of your sanctification process, he still sees you as perfect. Why? Because you are righteous in him the very same way that God is righteous. You are righteous. And because of that position of righteousness, the normal byproduct is just healing to flow and flow and flow so you can live out all of your days with health, and wealth, and you could be satisfied with long life. And then when you finally get tired of doing what you've been doing and you fulfilled the plan of God for your life, you just step on out of your body, just like Moses did under the old covenant, and you say, "Here I am, Lord." Come on, if Moses could live under the old covenant and live to 120 and not die of sickness, not die of disease, God didn't have to push him off his donkey off the mountain for him to die. Come on, he didn't have to get rapid moving cancer for him to die. He just stepped out. God told him that day, he said, "Today's your 120th birthday. I need you to go up on the mountain and die." And if that was available for somebody that was under the old covenant, how much more is available for somebody in Christ? You got to start thinking about the possibility. Stop thinking about the possibilities of the world. I'm dead to it. You got to see yourself as a dead man to what's normal to the world and a live man to what's normal in heaven. What's possible for me and this position in him? Some of you right now that's had some stuff going on, you just need to make that decision right now. Whatever I've been dealing with, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. You're dead to me. That relationship's done. And maybe you try some stuff out. Do some stuff you couldn't do. Maybe you get somebody that's sitting beside you just to put their hand on you and give you a little extra dose of the life of God. Actually, why don't we do that? Every single one here, filled with God, filled with the life of God, filled with Jesus Christ himself. These are his hands. Why don't you put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and do some considering. And if you got something that's going on in your body and somebody's putting their hands on you, I want you to view it like that. Jesus just put his hands on me. Come on, it's time that we stop living separated from Jesus. You need to see your hands as Jesus' hands, that his hands just touched my body. And if his hands just touched my body, darkness cannot stay, sickness and disease cannot stay. What? Because there's something greater flowing out of the Christ than what was flowing in the first Adam. My connection changed my flow. And the darkness that has tried to come against my body, it's going to go, and then I'll just never be sick again. I'll never have a problem again. Why? I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. Come on, when every single commercial comes on to tell you about the new sickness and the new disease, you need to look at the TV and say, "I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you." You ought to see, I'm dead to what's normal in the world. Why? God changed my connection. It's just not possible for me to be sick. You got to look at it that way. It's just not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's just not possible for me. The cancer that was growing in my body, it's just not possible for it to grow anymore. It's dying because I'm dead to you. I'm not going to give you any life anymore by even believing that you're possible anymore. What's the possibility that things can only grow in our life because we believe it's possible? I'm just saying what's possible. What's the possibility that the only reason Christians can still get sick is because we still think it's possible? Because we still think we're alive to it. And is it possibly because that's the way that it's been preached? When you do get sick, Jesus is your healer. What if we up our standard to the standard of Jesus Christ? That it's impossible for me to get sick because I'm connected to the Christ. That because I am a Christian, I'll never be sick another day in my life. If the Israelites could partake of the flesh of that lamb and put the blood over their doorpost, and that was a type and shadow, that Passover lamb was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, and they could walk out of there healthy and wealthy, what's the possibility that the real thing is greater than the type? That when I receive of Jesus, and I receive of his blood, and I receive of his body, that it put me in a position to never be sick another day in my life. Because I partook of that Passover lamb, that perfect one who changed my connection so it would change my flow. What's the possibility? What's the possibility that what Jesus did for me is greater than what I've been told? What's the possibility that my salvation is so much greater than what I thought it was? What's the possibility that what would flow in me because of my connection to Jesus is so much greater than what I thought was possible? What's the possibility that the life of God that flows on the inside of me would kill off anything in somebody's body that doctors have been trying to use chemo to do? What's the possibility that the life of God that's on the inside of you is the medicine of heaven that'll kill off anything that shouldn't be there without any side effects? What's the possibility that if we got back to the very basics of Christianity, God in me, Christ in me, greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. How is it possible for a man to be filled with God and yet still experience the things that a man filled with the devil does? That we got to change what's normal in the church. It should not be normal for someone filled with God to experience what someone filled with the devil experiences. That is not normal in the church. We got to change our considerations. We got to stop accepting what's normal for the world to be normal for the church. Yes. There ought to be a difference when God gets in you. Yes. There ought to be a difference when the Christ comes to be. There ought to be a difference when you become the head. There ought to be a difference when you as a branch get connected to Jesus. There ought to be a difference. Yes. There ought to be a difference. That's what God was doing with the Israelites. He was showing there's a difference with my people and the devil's people. And if that was possible under the old covenant, what would happen if the church today began to live in a position where I would never be sick another day in my life, that all the diseases and all the pandemics and all the problems, all the plagues that will continue to run ravage through this earth, what would happen to the earth? What would happen to the world when they begin to see a body, a group of people, an organization, the body of Christ that can't be touched by what they're touched by? It would be the greatest message to ever be preached. Talk about an illustrative sermon. Something that doesn't require words. That the world sees light when they're in darkness. That the world sees health when they're in sickness. And what does it do to the world? They see hope. But why does the world not see hope in the church? Because most of the church is just like the world. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, we've been freed. But there's a difference between being freed and then living free. Jesus has freed all of us. But until we consider ourselves to be dead to those things, we're still going to live as a slave instead of a free man. Your considerations, it's so simple. Your considerations will put you in a position of experiencing his freedom. We've got to get to a place we begin to live separate lives. How do we begin to live separate? Not by how long our hair is or whether we've got makeup on or not or our skirt or pants. We begin to live separate right here. And we move on past trying to get free of this sin and free of that sin and this addiction. We move on up to a higher place where we begin to consider what's real in heaven. So we know there's no sickness and disease in heaven. So why should there be sickness and disease here? Oh, I live from the kingdom of God. Well, there's no sickness there. We could go on and on about this, but I'm telling you, change your considerations. Watch it change your experiences. If it worked for the Israelites, if it worked for Abraham, it's got to work for me. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and greatness in our life. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you that right now, as we consider the body of Jesus, we begin to see our body. We begin to see our life. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now for wisdom and understanding and revelation. Help us to see ourselves for who we are, for all you've done in us and for us, and all you're endeavoring to do through us. I thank you for the mighty miracles that will take place through the hands of all those that are here. Thank you for all the mighty miracles taking place in bodies right now, those that are in this building and those that are watching online. I thank you for the separateness that's taking place right now in the body of Christ. That we would be the hope. We would be the revealing, the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God that the world is crying out and waiting to see and experience. That we would be the generation to fulfill that role, fulfill that word. That we would be those people. We would be that breed of being to say, hey, world, here we are. And when they look unto us, then we turn their eyes unto Jesus. And they begin to experience Jesus by experiencing us. Thank you, Father, for how good you are and how good you've been to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much, my friend. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be able to be here today and to be able to have Chad and April back with us. Can we just tell them thank you again for taking the time to be with us? Amen. I want to invite our healing disciples to come up. For those of you who may want some further ministry, we want to make that available. Also, those of you joining us on the internet, thank you for being a part of our gathering today. We love you. We're so excited that you are able to be with us. And we want to remind you, most of you already know this, but we have prayer ministers available where you are right now. If you'll call that number on your screen, 719 area code 635-1111, you'll be able to connect with someone who's waiting to take your call and pray with you, agree with you. We're seeing breakthroughs every single day in our call center, and why not you, and why not now? Amen? You know, I was just thinking, Chad, when you said Abraham did not consider his own body, and how the Lord has told us to consider him so that we don't grow weary in well-doing. Consider him. And you know, when we understand how worship and healing are connected together, that out of our relationship with God, as we consider him and the fact that he's the one who's the great one, and he's the one who's the greater one on the inside of us, then everything else flows out of magnifying him, considering him, allowing him to be who he is in our lives. And as we do that, then we're going to stop considering our own body. We're going to stop looking at this and realize there's something better to look at, number one. And number two, something greater to fix our attention and our affection on. Would you stand with me today? And as we do, can we just lift up our hands and just bless the Lord for a moment and just tell him thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Come on, all over this auditorium, all over the internet, wherever you are joining us from, let's just begin to bless the Lord and thank him that he's the one who reigns. Amen? He's the one who's greater. He's the one who's bigger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercies that are new every morning. Your loving kindness that chases us down. Your goodness, Lord God, that we've experienced over and over and over again. Your faithfulness. Lord, we're so blessed. And we want to just take this moment to bless you with hearts filled with thanksgiving. I will bless the Lord. And all that is within me, all that is within me, bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you glad you came today? Hallelujah. I tell people all the time, I'd rather be here than the best hospital anywhere. How about you? Amen. And to realize what we've already been given. Listen, I want to just remind you, go to chadgonzalez.com is the website. Chad brought some materials with them today. He said they're almost out of the books already. But again, you can order them online. They've got, by the way, some great merchandise on their website. Do you like the shirt he's wearing? There's all kinds of stuff like that on their website available as well. And again, let's just thank Chad and April for being with us again one more time. You guys, thank you so much. And again, I want to remind you, we'll be back, Lord willing, at 1 o'clock next Wednesday for another Healing Now with Barry Bennett. And it'll be an awesome time to gather again. And it's just been so great to be with you. If you want some further ministry, come out into the aisles. Let our ushers direct you to our healing disciples. And we're going to take some time to just minister to you. And again, we want to thank you for being a part of this today. God bless you. We love you.